Well, good morning. Glad each one of us could be here today. Thankful for health and strength. And as we are looking to the Lord to bless our time here together, last Sunday morning and Sunday evening had a couple messages about the second work of grace. Just like to very briefly recap, the second work of grace is something that Jesus told his disciples about and predicted that it'd be available after his ascension. And he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. The first work of grace, obviously, is forgiveness, is atonement, the reconciliation of mankind's soul and all, to where we can be forgiven and that we can be accepted as a child of God. But I believe that God has something more for us, and He intended for us to be filled with His Spirit. Paul and Peter both addressed those that were Gentiles that asked if they had received the Holy Spirit since they had been born again. That's my words. And the encounter was that once they received the Holy Spirit, there was a greater manifestation of power and authority in their lives. So I want to talk more about that today. This will be the third time we've addressed this subject from a little different angle. Peter and Paul both taught it and believed it. It made a huge change in Peter's life. He went from being a disciple to being someone that was willing to address the crowd. Might have been some of the same people in that crowd that asked him earlier, "Aren't you one of those?" Could be. He had a different response after the Holy Spirit came into his life. So last Sunday night we tried to lay a foundation of how being filled with the Holy Spirit requires a high level of consecration, of commitment. The high priest, there's a lot of things that's set aside, that's consecrated for the Lord to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. So I would like for us maybe to title our thought today as sanctified for the master's use. Many down through time have gotten a perspective of receiving the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being sanctified. There have been various terms used to basically describe the same spiritual experience to describe the second work of grace. Many have kind of got a perspective, it seems like, that the whole getting receiving or being filled with the Holy Spirit is kind of like some type of Midas touch. Y'all know what the Midas touch is? You probably read the account and of King Midas and how that he touched things, that he received this kind of, I don't know what you would call it, granted a wish, and everything he touched was turned to gold. Well, I want to give us just a little bit of a tangent this morning. It seems like a pretty innocent fairy tale story to tell children and entertain them with. And that maybe you can say it teaches something about greed and those kind of things. But you know where the origin of that is? Greek mythology. You know who has capitalized on that more than anybody else? Disney. Did you know Disney has an agenda to undermine Christianity? They may not, they may deny it, but it's a fact. They undermine it with interjecting things that are non-Christian, whether it be mythology or lifestyles or whatever. That's a complete tangent to our burden today, but I just want us to be aware that no matter how innocent something from Disney seems to be, it's laced with poison. Write that down somewhere and keep that in mind. All right? So I would like to go on with our thought here. The Holy Spirit is not the Midas touch. It's not something that once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that everything that you do and everything you touch just turns out to be a wonderful blessing. It'd be nice to be that. Wouldn't it be nice for us to receive an experience with the Lord that anything that caused us any kind of little hiccup in life, we could just lay hands on it, so to speak, and say, Lord, would you turn this around for me? Command you to fall in line and be a blessing to me. And it'd be nice to be able to have that kind of authority, wouldn't it? But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit don't do that for us. So I'll just tell you that my experience has been that being sanctified and asking the Lord to fill us, fill me with the Holy Spirit, has not given me a life of red carpet. It hasn't given me a life without bumps in the road. It hasn't given me a life without pain or disappointment. And what I see in the level of personal victory, what I do see is a level of personal victory and inner peace that's not available anyplace else. It puts the individual in a place to really be able to be used of the Lord. You know, to not have inner peace is a real distressing thing. And to not have personal victory is like you got to keep the electric fence going all the time. But when there is an inner peace, and when there is a desire that's changed inside us because of the Holy Spirit's presence, it makes all the difference in the world, in this world. It causes us to be able to have power over things we never had power before. So my experience has not been that the Holy Spirit give me a Midas touch, or everything that I put my fingers to turned out to be a wonderful blessing. It has given me an inner peace. It has given me a coping mechanism for the disappointments that life presents. To be able to reconcile the things that comes my way. Jesus and John the Baptist, according to Scripture, were both filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. They both had troubles. John the Baptist got his head chopped off. You would think a person, if the Holy Spirit made everything right in our lives, that surely you wouldn't end your life with your head being chopped off. They chopped his head off and served it on a platter to the queen at the time. You know, you would think someone, so there has to be something different. We can't miss the point here. Jesus was led out into a wilderness and tempted, and we're even encouraged that, well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, that he was tempted like we are. But let's read a couple of scriptures. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter, and notice verse 15. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15 is where Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's father, was being visited by an angel. And Zacharias was very much in a state of quandary and question of how that he was going to be a father at the age that he was. But in verse 15, he's told by the angel, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." John the Baptist was very instrumental in paving the way for Jesus, was he not? His message, his baptism was, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The ministry of Jesus was able to take off where John's ended. John was used. He was very, very instrumental in paving the way for Jesus' ministry to be effective. And if the people would have had prepared their hearts to John, for John, and responded to John's ministry, maybe that's a better way. If the people had really responded to John's ministry, then history would be different. History, as we know it, would be different. But they didn't. But that didn't keep the Holy Spirit from not being in John's life. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That's what the Scripture says. I believe it. I believe what he was able to accomplish was effective because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And because his parents raised him carefully, probably took some extra precautions. Let's go to John, 1 John now, the 5th chapter. And I want us to read this to try to emphasize that Jesus was equipped with the Holy Spirit when he came too. So 1 John chapter 5, and I'll begin reading in verse 6. He says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit." The Word here being who? Being Jesus, because the Scripture in another place says, "For the Word being made flesh dwelt among us." All right? So he says, "For these three that bear witness, record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." They are unified. You don't get one without the other. Okay? Verse 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." Still talking about the incorporation of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. So I'll read these scriptures to try to emphasize that Jesus and John the Baptist lived a mortal life. Both of them did. Jesus was crucified, put in a tomb. He arose from the dead, ascended up into heaven. But he experienced mortality just like you and I experienced mortality. John the Baptist experienced mortality just like you and I experienced mortality. Not everything turned out perfectly for either one of them. They were both equipped with the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Midas touch. All right? They had the power of God working in their life. That's the point that I want us to get from this. They faced trials. They faced temptations. Do you think it was easy for John the Baptist to be in prison? He even sent some of his followers that were in contact with him in prison. You remember he sent some of them to Jesus and said, "Are you really the one? Or is there another one?" And Jesus gave them an answer that satisfied John. Okay? So he was tempted. He was tried. He faced some difficulties, and he had the Holy Spirit. Okay? In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, if we turn there, Hebrews chapter 4, it reminds us that Jesus was touched just like we're being touched with temptations. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And Jesus had the Holy Spirit. He was, you might say, the Holy Spirit in humanity. You don't get one without the other. But there are three persons, there are three perspectives of God, although it's the one true God. So I want us to start out with that as a foundation for our points this morning. But I'd like to spend a little time now in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. And I want us to get a hold of something here that hopefully will help us realize what it means to be set aside for the Master's use, or sanctified for the Master's use. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 20. He says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Different purposes for different vessels, all right? "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I would like for us, maybe homework in the week ahead, I'd like for you to begin with verse 1 of this chapter. And I'd like for you to read it and ask the Lord to speak to your hearts about how this chapter is encouraging us to live a life that is set apart for Jesus and for the Lord, sanctified for the Master's use. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things that would distract us from having a singleness of heart and mind to live for the Lord," he said, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Avoid the things that you know are going to be a distraction, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. You know, if you're sanctified and set apart for the Master's use, the Lord will be able to find a job and put you in a place that you'll be able to help others. All right? He says, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." The devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he is able to overcome anyone in a test, in a temptation, the Holy Spirit needs to be able to use you, somebody, to minister to that person, to reach out to that person, to offer them some hope, to offer them a way out and a way of recovery. How are we able to do that? I don't have a heaven to promise somebody I can take them to. All I can do is be in a place where God can use me at the time. Notice what he says here in that verse 21. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. What does it mean to be sanctified and meet for the master's use? Meet here, I believe, means that it's acceptable. Meets expectations, meets specifications. Rodney was telling me yesterday after we left here, we were eating together, and he said that he has a tool to gauge the material that he uses on his job before it goes into the machine. And it's a tool that he can slide over the wire, the material. And if it's too small, it won't go in the hole. If it's too big, I don't know. I guess it wobbles around or something. But anyway, it's. Oh, sorry. You understand what I meant? Okay. So if it's too large in diameter, it won't go in the hole. If it's too small, the tool doesn't fit properly. Okay? So anyway, he has something that this material has to meet a specification. The Lord has a... How are we going to use something if it's not available? The more available something is, the more we'll use it, right? Now, I'm a person that if I sit down at the table, if I come to your house and you serve me something and I wished it had more salt, I'm probably not going to ask. I mean, it would have to really be not any salt in it for me to ask for salt. If it's got too much salt, I'm not going to say anything. It might have too much salt for me. It might be right for you. I'm not going to start eating your meal that you prepared for me and ask you, do you have any hot sauce? I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to eat it. But, you know, when you go to, there's people that won't hardly eat anything without ketchup. And if there's ketchup on the table, they're going to pour it on it. If the ketchup's not on the table, they might not. They might ask for it. I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I figure that if you thought it needed ketchup, you would have put it on the table or put it on the food. That's who I am. So, the more available and accessible we are for the will of God, the more He'll be able to use us. How are we going to be that way if we don't have His Spirit in us? If we're not filled with His Spirit. So, sanctified is set apart. It's not only accepted, it's approved. Do you know the difference? It's not just accepted. It's not just... you're not my enemy anymore. You're approved. So, approved for what? Meet for the master's use. Accessible, ready. So I'll tell you a little story. Somehow, in the course of life, I have accumulated multiple 3/4 inch combination end wrenches. Open end on one end, boxed end on the other. I don't know. Probably at the house, I probably got 4 or 5 different brands, all of this kind of thing. And that's not important for my story, but I have this thing, this hitch that I put in my truck to pull my fifth wheel trailer. And it has a bolt that has to be tightened up, and it's a good idea to check that bolt and make sure it stays tight after you pull the trailer a little bit. And guess what size it is? It's a 3/4. So instead of keeping 4 or 5 3/4 tool or wrenches in my toolbox at the house, you know where I've got one of those tools? In my glove compartment. So if you look in the glove compartment of my truck, there's a 3/4 end wrench. And the first time you see that, you're probably going to say, why a 3/4 end wrench? Everything on your truck is metric. Well, it is. But it's in there because it's dedicated for a specific reason. I never know when exactly. I don't want to look for it. You know, when the Lord has a job to do, He needs someone that's set apart for His use, meet for the Master's service. He wants us to be prayed up. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be in tune with His Spirit to where we can act. I'm trying to catch a spooky calf at the house. She likes grain, but she don't like me. And I put grain out, and when I come close, she runs out of the little pen that I have. So I set up a little trap for I got some 4 lariat ropes I've tied together, and I hooked it on the gate, and I went around the fence post, and it's laying out in the grass. I hope it's far enough away that when she runs in, I can grab the rope and slam the gate shut. I don't know if it'll work or not. I'll tell you later. But I've got it, everything there, I hope, to make this successful. You know, the Lord wants everything in place. He doesn't want random tools. I have had a neighbor, he's passed away now, but the reputation was that when he worked on his farm machinery and he got finished, he just left his tools laying in the driveway. And it seemed like one of his son-in-laws went by or picked it up and was putting them up in his toolbox or in the shed or something. And so later on, the story was told that he was out in the driveway looking around. And he couldn't find his tools. And he asked somebody, said, well, I picked those up. You know, they was out there. It could get rained on and dirt in them, whatever. He said, but I knew where I used them last and I knew where to look. The Lord don't want us here, there, and yonder, okay? He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants us to be in a place that He can give us the little nudge. Now's the time to speak. Now's the time to act. Sanctified for the Master's use. Not on your own tangent. Not doing your own thing. Not just barely delivered. Please take this with the understanding that it's meant. Not just barely saved. You understand? The Lord wants some tools. He wants some equipment. He wants something that can be used in His kingdom. And how do we get there? It's by asking the Lord, Lord, I want Your Spirit to dwell in me. I know You have a Spirit. I know Your Spirit's holy. I know it's powerful. I know that it, look what it did for John the Baptist. Look what it did for those in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit came upon them and blessed them with ability to do things with their hands, that gave them wisdom to know how to. It was the Spirit of God that gave Gideon the direction that he had to be successful. I want that Spirit to be directing my life. I don't want to just be out there on my own, always asking, and understand this, for what it's meant for, always asking for mercy. I don't mean that we're self-sufficient. I just mean that the Lord has an experience for us that's deeper that's more, has more power, personal inner peace, and personal victory. I only have one reason to carry a 3/4 inch in my glove box. It won't take my lug nuts off. It's not there to adjust anything on my truck. The only reason I carry that is for my hitch. That's the only reason I got it. But it's sanctified, if you want to call it that, for that reason. That's why I have it. I'd like for us to go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And I want us to try to bring this closer to our home. Colossians chapter 3. My pages are falling out. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin, we're just going to read one verse, in verse 23. He says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." The word "whatsoever" is a long word that ends up meaning a pretty wide brush, doesn't it? Whatsoever. What does that include? Pretty much everything, doesn't it? Whatsoever. And he says, whatsoever ye do. Do you do stuff? I do stuff. Whatsoever I do, do it heartily, with enthusiasm, with energy, as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, it's a would be a whole lot more easy to accept if we could switch two phrases around in here and say, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto men, and not as unto the Lord." If we could say it that way, it would fit right in with our nature. Because as long as things were going well, we would be enthusiastic. But as soon as things are not going so well, you know what we ask ourselves? What's the use? And here's where a sanctified nature really comes into play. Have I really got the Holy Spirit? Have I really been filled with His Spirit? Here's a good way to check. It's like before you start a trip. My father was one of these. Before he left the house, he checked his fluid levels. He raised the hood. He checked his antifreeze. He checked his oil. He checked his transmission fluid, his power steering fluid. He checked the air in the tires, and we got in the car and took off. And consequently, even though my brother and I prayed for us to have a flat, we hardly ever had a problem. We wanted to stop for something, and we thought it would be really cool to take the wheel off on the side of the road, but I just don't ever remember having a flat with my dad. And it's because he checked everything. He was prepared. Are we prepared? Or are we just going along and whatever, as long as everybody likes me, I'm enthused. But just as soon as somebody says they don't like me, or infers that they don't like me, do I just crawl off by myself somewhere? That's so human. It's so non-human to keep right on going. It's so much evidence that you got something besides just plain old me when you can keep on doing the things that you know is right, that you know is your responsibility. So the verse says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. It's very inclusive. of all of our activities. Very inclusive. You know, the only balance to out of balance circumstances is the Holy Spirit. You ever feel like life is just completely crazy and out of balance? I've felt that way several times. I've felt like many times it's like just something's fixing to fly off. I'm just fixing to go into orbit. I feel like I'm getting beat up, and it's kind of like getting something. Well, it's just like having a big auger on your drill, and when you're trying to drill a hole in a piece of wood or something, it hangs and your drill wraps you all up. I mean, that's the way life feels like sometimes. Bangs your knuckles and maybe causes you to lose a little skin. And life feels that way. But the only balance to an out-of-balance world is the Holy Spirit. The secret to keeping your cool when things aren't cool is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The secret of keeping your cool when things aren't cool is the Holy Spirit. It causes me to still do whatsoever I do, do it as unto the Lord. Many, many is the time in my life that I've had to remind myself that the why and the what behind what I'm doing is as to the Lord. Because if my why and my what is because people like me or because everybody is applauding my efforts, I'd quit. Whatever that is. And without the Holy Spirit, we all will. But if your why, if your what that causes you to act the way you do is because of the Holy Spirit enabling you, and because you want to be pleasing to the Lord, we will be successful. We will be sanctified for the Master's use. I've been there. When I set out to be a blessing to someone else, and the blessing wasn't accepted. I've been there when being a blessing to someone else hurt me. I felt like I was being attacked. And I had to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. How do I keep going on? And it's because I came to the place that I was willing to say, Lord, I'm not doing this because they're wanting to pat me on the back. I'm doing this because I'm doing it as unto you. That's the only thing that makes balance in something that's out of balance. So I desire your prayers for myself as I go through life, that I will continue to remember evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of having that second work of grace in my life, is when I can continue on in doing whatever I do, I do it as unto the Lord. I'm not doing it for you, although I like you to like me. I really do. I like everybody to like me. And I like to be applauded, if I can say it that way. I like for some, you know, it does us all good to say, I appreciate you. You're a wonderful blessing to me, or I appreciate your input or all that. I want to be more careful to do that. But I'm going to tell you, there's something taller. There's a second work of grace that will enable me to go on, even if nobody tells me I like you or I like what you do. I can still go on if I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'd like for us to close with a song. Could we stand and sing number 128? May the Lord help us to be set aside for the Master's use, or sanctified for the Master's use. You pray for me.